Today's Playbook Audio Brief is brought to you by United Health Group.
Good Thursday morning, I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook Audio Briefing.
And I'm Jake Sherman. Joe Biden has an incredibly ambitious legislative agenda. He wants to rework the nation's healthcare laws, fund infrastructure, and pass a new round of coronavirus relief. That all sounds well and good, but there's one massive and familiar complication. Mitch McConnell. Biden, Joe knows Congress, said repeatedly during the campaign that he thought when he beat Donald Trump, the fog would lift and Republicans would see the light of bipartisanship. Maybe they will, but at this point, that doesn't seem obvious. A large pocket of the Senate Republican Conference is behind Trump in his quest to challenge the election results, and few will even acknowledge the reality that Biden has won the election. We asked McConnell on Wednesday about his relationship with Biden, much ballyhooed by some on the left and Biden himself. McConnell had just answered a separate question, but when we asked about Biden, he stopped on a dime, stared up in an elevator, and gazed at it as if it were a Picasso. Seconds later, he got in that elevator and went on with his day, leaving his thoughts about Biden unanswered.
Pool reporters in Delaware Wednesday asked Biden why he hadn't spoken to McConnell. Here's the pool report. There's a lot going on, though it was unclear to me whether he was responding to the McConnell question or explaining why he wasn't stopping to take questions. Biden did find time to talk to Nancy Pelosi to congratulate her on winning an internal party election that she won unanimously. If he is majority leader, swaying McConnell, of course, is almost certainly the key to Biden's success. And Democrats have made a good habit of losing to him in the last half dozen years. He took the majority in 2014. Blocked Merrick Garland from the Supreme Court in 2016 and then stacked the court and the entire judiciary with conservatives between 2017 and 2020. Democrats couldn't take the majority from him in 2018 or 2020. They couldn't beat him in Kentucky either.
McConnell has a maxim, though, and it's quite easy to discern from watching the Capitol. If you can beat him, beat him. McConnell is driven by power. If you have the votes to stop him from exerting his will, then do it. And if you can't, then that's too bad. He doesn't care for letters urging him to do things or press conferences calling him the devil. To call it bare-knuckle politics would be kind. Democrats are eager to remind that they don't play McConnell's game, and that couldn't be more evident. McConnell's strength is that he has a large United Senate GOP conference behind him at nearly all times. They follow him and trust him, so the roadmap for Biden is quite clear here. He has two general options. Can Biden create an environment in which he has a governing coalition willing to split with McConnell? Or more likely, can Biden, the self-stylized master legislator, act quickly to move on areas in which the two sides have shared legislative priorities? COVID relief and perhaps a government funding deal, if that doesn't get done this month.
Another thing that will drive Republicans is a tough 2022 map. There are a bunch of competitive states Republicans will have to wage races in, including Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. And there's this wild card as well. Joe knows Congress may have worked to beat Trump as well. If the 45th president is weighing in on legislating from the sidelines, that will influence Republican senators, who need his coalition to turn out to win re-election. Of course, Democrats could just win those two seats in Georgia. Then this is all moot. Natasha Korecki and Chris Catalago are reporting that Biden's transition team is mounting a lobbying blitz to crack GOP resistance to his transition. Still, like many other things, Trump doesn't appear to be interested in what any other Republicans think here. The president, once again, has nothing on his public schedule. Vice President Mike Pence is leading a coronavirus task force meeting in the Situation Room at 2:30 p.m. And here's a question. Will Democrats bring the House back into session at all this year beyond a quick session to pass a government funding bill? Coronavirus is surging out of control all over America, and House Dems are already pinging us, telling us they don't want to come back.
The New York Times has a Q&A with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal editorial board writes, they believe Biden needs to be more transparent about his health. The Post reports that Trump is trying to delay vote counts in a last-ditch attempt to cast doubt on Biden's victory, while the New York Times has a look at how threats and tension are rising as Trump and his allies attack the election process. And Robin Givond in the Washington Post turns her attention to Rudy Giuliani. She calls him a mess. Gabby Orr has the latest on conservatives fearing they'll be deemed traitors to the president if they start to prepare for a Biden administration.
And the coronavirus continues to rage. 11.5 million Americans have tested positive for the coronavirus. 250,537 have died. The Post notes that despite the large number of deaths, little has changed about people's attitudes towards the virus. And the AP has a look at how hospitals are overwhelmed with virus cases. James Arkin reports that in the Georgia race, both Republican senators Loeffler and Perdue are turning to Fox viewers to fund the pricey race. While Maya King reports that Republicans are painting Raphael Warnock as a religious radical. In the juice, the Democratic Attorney General's Association today is announcing new leadership. Nevada AG Aaron Ford will be the new co-chair, alongside Massachusetts AG Maura Healey, and Delaware AG Kathy Jennings is also joining the executive committee. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
For more than 20 years, United Health Group has advocated for universal coverage. More than 28 million uninsured people can be covered by expanding and strengthening Medicaid, modernizing exchanges, and enabling more choice in the individual market. United Health Group is committed to expanding access to high-quality, affordable healthcare. Learn more at uhg.com.